Well, time for us to have a little chat with a lady who's actually become a first-time novelist. Now, you know, we do talk to lots of authors on this program, but not necessarily novelists for some reason or other. I don't know why, but this book crossed my desk. It's a brand new book by a lady from South Australia called Fiona McCallum, and it is called Paycheck. And basically, it's about a lady who loses her husband and her house and her career and all that sort of thing and ends up back with her dad on the farm looking after a racehorse and what happens with that. It's a fascinating story, it really is. And Fiona McCallum has joined us on the line from Adelaide this morning. Hello, Fiona, how are you?
Hi, Pat, I'm very well, thank you.
Well, I want to go back to you. I want to talk about the book in detail, but I want to go back to your origins, of course, because you are I suppose you're a bushy, you're a country girl, aren't you?
I am, yes. I was raised in the country. I married a farmer when I was young, and so worked on the farm with him, and have a great love of the land running through me.
But you also had a great love of reading too, by the sound of it.
Yes, I discovered Enid Blyton quite young and got a bit addicted, I think.
Did you fancy yourself as a writer back then?
I did. I actually remember, true story, Pat, wanting to become, at the age of 9, the next Enid Blyton. Just happened to lose sight of the dream for quite a few years.
So was it kids' stories you wanted to write?
I think I just wanted to entertain people and move people through my stories like Enid did for me.
Well, of course, I mean, you married young and your marriage ended, of course, and you headed off to Adelaide and then you decided that perhaps a little bit of study was in order.
Yes, I found myself in Melbourne and got the opportunity to go back to university, well, not really back, for the first time at 26 and really found my feet and absolutely loved it. And, yeah, I studied writing because that's what had always been of interest to me.
Yeah, and then, of course, you started your own business, didn't you, called Content, whatever it is, Solutions.
Content
Solutions, yeah.
Yes.
Fascinating name. Where'd you get that from?
Oh, it was in the heady days of all the telecoms and internet stuff in 2000, and my partner at the time, I think, came up with that one. He was a bit of a techo. It started basically as a need within a particular business where they were putting together big tenders for the telecommunications industry, and so it kind of related to that. So I became a bit of a specialist in putting together tender responses.
Now, your partner was also in the corporate world too, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. So did you do all the things that people do in the corporate world, all these heady parties and Melbourne Cup lunches and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, quite a bit of that sort of socialising, and got moved to Sydney and found Sydney wasn't at all me.
Fascinating. I wonder why. But having decided that you always wanted to write, you made this extraordinary decision to get out of Melbourne, to quit this, leave the partner, go to Melbourne. Did you agonise over that, or was this one of these decisions that said, enough's enough, if I don't do what I do now, my unfulfilled passion will not happen?
Well, everything with me is a bit of a long story, I'm afraid, Pat. But
feel free, tell us.
A little bit of a long story. I met some people when I was first in Sydney, and I was quite lonely because I was working from home, and I managed to stumble across the brochure for a course, and I went off and did this writing course thinking this was a great way to meet some new people. And while I was there, I did meet some great people, and some of the people were doing a new age type of course, and I decided maybe I needed to do something because I just wasn't feeling happy and just wasn't quite right inside. So I went off and did this course, and it was, you know, a bit of hypnosis, bit of weird new age stuff, but which I won't bother going into because you'll all think I'm odd. But I found it was a light bulb moment, Pat, where I realised I actually wanted to be a novelist, and I decided that that was my calling and I would do everything it took to give it a damn good shot. And I was in Sydney and I was in this corporate executive lifestyle, and I was watching people being retrenched but still being obsessively devoted to a company, putting their relationships at risk, travelling, doing ridiculous hours, earning a lot of money, but still didn't seem happy to me. And I think I felt that a lot of these people had lost sight of who they really were and what really made them happy on the inside. And that became the basis for what I wanted to write about. And then I realised that, well, I wasn't living true to myself either. And it was an agonising decision to leave, because I could have stayed with plenty of money selling my soul. And I just realised that I would actually rather do it really tough and be poor if I had to in order to chase this dream.
Mm. You wrote your first manuscript, I gather, back in 2002 or something.
That's right. So Paycheck is actually my fourth manuscript.
Ah, what happened to the other three?
Well, they make great doorstops, Pat. I can tell you that.
So it took you four goes before somebody actually said, yeah, maybe this bird's got something.
Yeah, and it's interesting because some writers tend to sit on one manuscript and polish and polish and polish, and, you know, 10 years later, maybe think about another one. I guess I tend to like to finish things, and so I finished one, polished it to what I thought was an acceptable standard, and moved on to the next one. And so I kept getting rejections left, right and centre, and I realised one day that it really didn't matter. What mattered to me was actually writing, because that's what makes me feel good inside at a soul level. And so I accepted that maybe if I ever got published, I'd have 20 manuscripts, and then they would hopefully be published one after the other, and I'd be a bit ahead of myself.
What was the reaction, though, when you announced that you were heading back to Adelaide and leaving everything behind?
Yeah, there was a shrug of the shoulders, and, well, if that's what you want, this corporate life obviously isn't for you. See you later. I actually asked him to come back with me, and he wouldn't, even though we'd actually met in Adelaide 8 years before.
Hmm. So did you feel sad about that, that such a relationship ended that way?
Well, it had run its course, I think, and, you know, some of the comments during the time made me realise that this person didn't know me at all, because I'm a very earthy, rural, at-heart type person, and possessions and money, while I got caught up in it, at my soul, that's not what I'm about. And when I was being told to, oh, we'll take the credit card for a spin, when I was complaining that my partner wasn't home, then it dawned on me that this person didn't know me at all, and I'd be better off going it alone. And it actually happened that I had attended a couple of funerals back in my hometown, and he hadn't been able to go back with me, and I was standing in a cemetery, and it was another light bulb moment where I looked around me, all these people standing side by side with their partners, and I thought, hang on, I may as well be single.
Yeah.
I'm doing this all on my own anyway, and I was really upset because I'd lost someone quite special to me. And so I went back and basically gave 6 months' notice. And it turned out to be the right thing for me and the right thing for my writing, even though it's taken quite a long time since then to actually get my publishing deal.
Yes, and of course, side by side with that, you reinvigorated your business, Content Solutions.
Yes, because it had taken a bit of a slide in Sydney, because I found it really difficult to network, because I didn't know anyone, and everyone I did know was with the one particular company, and that company was giving me a lot of work, but then the telecommunications slump hit, and they were putting people off so they couldn't justify paying a consultant. And so I was lucky that I had some contacts that I picked up again when I got back here, and everything seemed to go quite well for a few years. The global financial crisis has hit me quite hard, but then I look at it that the universe is giving me the space to, you know, deal with the publishing side of my life.
Mm. So have you now got a balance in your life where you've got the corporate business, if you like, but the writing side as well?
Yes, it's been a bit quieter on the corporate side the last probably 18 months, and of course right at the moment when I'm doing all the promotion for Paycheck, it's probably quite a good thing that I'm not trying to work around putting together a annual report or a big tender.
Mm, but your clients speak pretty highly of you. I mean, your work's pretty good.
Well, thank you. I think the fact that I've had plenty of work along the way from some really good companies and made some really quite close business friends through that work. Yeah, I think it's been great.
Mm. All right, now let's talk about this here book, Paycheck. It's a lovely title, and B, it's a fascinating, very easy to read story. There are a lot of things in there, you know, when I was reading it and thinking, yeah, you can relate to that. I mean, this bird that your heroine, if you like, Claire McIntyre, is a bit of a control freak. Any of that in you?
You know, I keep having to defend myself for this very question. All of my friends are looking at me, rolling their eyes, going, oh, yes, you're Claire, aren't you? Well, I think there's a lot of me in each of the characters, to be honest, Pat.
Yeah.
You know, my passion is in Jack, her father, and his desire to chase this seemingly never-ending dream. I mean, that's me in my writing. But back to Claire, to answer your question, yes, there is some of me in Claire. I am very disciplined. I've recognised that I have the potential to be a control freak, so I've worked very hard to channel that towards my self-discipline rather than controlling other people. I can be a bit intense. But Claire's journey does mirror my own journey in a sense.
Yes, there is a parallel there, but your friends say that you are a bit hard on yourself. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, and that's just me.
Yeah.
And I don't think, well, I certainly wouldn't be where I am if I wasn't, I didn't have that discipline and that streak of pushing myself.
And you're a person that doesn't suffer fools gladly, I suspect.
Well, I've heard it said that I don't suffer fools at all.
Well said, well said.
Which gets me into a bit of trouble at times because I'm a bit opinionated and...
You're allowed to be.
I'm not good at holding my tongue sometimes, Pat.
When I was looking at the character, Jack, who is Claire's father in this book, and I was thinking, you know, you could go to any state in Australia and you'd find characters like him who do just what he does, and this passion for horses and hoping that one day he might produce something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think people are like that. I mean, it doesn't just have to be someone with a racehorse or that dream around horse racing. It's basically every farmer on this country. You know, they are chasing this dream against all the odds with the seasons and the weather and grain prices and, you know, weevils and mice plagues and all the rest of it.
You got some fascinating characters in this book. Did you base them on people?
No, I never base characters on particular people. They seem to be composites because I'm a great people watcher, Pat, and people fascinate me. And I've found that there are only so many different personality types. And so people that know me will look hard for themselves in my characters. And we'll always find ourselves because there are only a certain number of types of people. So we all know a control freak. We all know someone who's nervous and anxious, you know, that sort of thing. So no, not actually based on particular people, but personality types and composites.
Mm. But there is the section, of course, where you deal with the horse breaking down and you bring in a holistic vet. Now, of course, we do have one of those in this country. We probably have a few more than one.
Mm.
And fascinating, obviously you did some research on that to find out just the methods that they use to rejuvenate animals.
Yes, I did. And another part of my study at university, I did a history major as well. And so I just love finding out stuff, anything. I'll go off on tangents all the time with research. So I've got to be careful to bring myself back. So I love, you know, researching in depth any subject, and I think it really adds to the story. But I found this lovely man, Douglas Wilson, and he was the holistic vet, and he gave me so much of his time. He was an absolute gem. And he had set up the first truly holistic veterinary practice here in Adelaide. He's moved into state now, but I went down and put a scenario to him, and he'd actually worked with racehorses as well, so that was great, because I thought he was more just a small, because he's a city vet, I thought he would be more domestic type animals. And so I said to him, look, let me digress for a second, Pat. The story of Paycheck started off as a tribute to the horse Mummify, the racehorse, who I'm a great fan of the spring racing carnival, and I was watching the Caulfield Cup in 2005, I believe it was, when he came in second, this horse called Mummify, and he broke down at the end, and he was put down that night with a broken sesamoid bone, and it got me thinking about the horses that I had had who had had injuries, and there was one in particular that had strained a tendon, or two tendons in his front legs, and I'd gone to the vet, and the vet had said, look, dog him. You might as well shoot him now. He's never going to be any good for jumping, and he probably won't be any good for dressage. Not in any great pain, but his stride will never probably be true again. And so I thought, well, okay, he's not in any pain. I could turn him out for 12 months and see what happened. Well, I did that, and he came back about 85% good. And it was, you know, a real case of, well, what if I'd listened to this so-called expert? And it was just lucky that, you know, he was a pet to me. And so when I heard the story of Mummify, it really brought home to me the fact that, and I don't know the ins and outs of the people behind it, but it was just, it tugged at my heartstrings that here was this horse who'd given millions in prize money to these people, and yet, you know, he was just a part of a business to them. Yep. And so that's where the holistic thing came in, where I wanted to pay a tribute to Mummify and all of those other horses who hadn't had their second chance.
Hmm.
So
yeah,
that's
interesting. Yeah,
that comes in.
Actually, it's interesting because I found a parallel there with, you know, in terms of cheap racehorses with Takeover Target. In fact,
yes, exactly. There's so many stories, and you know they do so well, but then there's that sense that really at the end of the day they are only a means for making money, and I guess that's what really irked me and, you know, made me feel the need to write in that particular vein.
One of the other things that I noticed that comes through fairly strongly in this book is that you are against the use of whips on horses. Is that something you feel strong about?
Yeah, I just don't see the point, Pat. Oh, everyone carrying a whip or no one carrying a whip, what's the difference? I just scratch my head and think, how come you people can't see that?
Yeah.
And also, as I brought through in the book, yeah, so like I said earlier, I'm a bit opinionated and I see it as a way of getting my opinions across without offending too many people or getting locked up or anything. But, you know, it's the same. I'm wondering why Oc Health and Safety hasn't got involved with the fact that, you know, they've got one hand on the reins at crucial moments at the ends of races with them whipping horses, because, you know, I could see that that could be considered quite dangerous. And, you know, I'm not for a second in the racing industry. I'm just an outsider. But it just strikes me as a little bit odd.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that I wanted to chat about was, you know, the messages that are in this book. There's a few messages there for corporate Australia, one would think, about these high-flying characters you've talked about, you know, being out of touch with reality and what have you, and really losing their families as a result. And there's a message there, isn't there?
I think so. I think it's the people that are involved. I think companies do have to take a bit of responsibility for their staff's lives and emotional well-being, because they do push them hard on projects, and at the end of the day, if they got hit by a bus or had a mental breakdown or whatever, they could be replaced quite easily. And I don't think that big business takes enough responsibility for how hard they push their people.
And of course people do have mental breakdowns as a result of that pushing too.
Yes.
You know, I mean, let's face it, I mean, you know, life at the top's pretty short.
Yes.
Ask prime ministers. Life, and it's the same in the corporate world, isn't it?
Yes, and I guess the big message coming through and the big thing that I discovered was that money isn't everything. And I really question, what is wealth? In this society, wealth is being projected as a big bank balance, a big house, a fast car, and that's, you know, having kids at private school or whatever. But, you know, sometimes chasing my dream, I'm really, really financially poor, but I wouldn't change my life for the world, even at those times, while I'm struggling to pay the electricity bill, because I'm being true to myself. And I guess that's through Paycheck and through my other books, I'd like people to question what really makes their heart sing and consider changing their lives for the better, even though it might be a really difficult thing to do. Because ultimately, nothing that comes too easily is really worth it.
Mm. I have a friend who has a philosophy, it just doesn't matter.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, it just doesn't matter. And how right she is.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a book out there called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, which I've never read, but the title just is great.
Yes.
And we do worry. It's interesting because growing up in a very small country town, everyone knows what you're up to.
Oh, yes.
And I think then when I moved to the city, I think I took that with me, the looking over your shoulder, being very careful about what people know about you. But the reality really is people don't spend nearly as much time wondering what we're up to that we think they are. You know, we think they're doing all this time wondering what we're up to when they actually really don't care.
I noticed that you say that your favourite word is pernickety. I don't remember hearing that word for 50 years. Where did that come from?
I have no idea.
I mean, do you know somebody who is pernickety? Are you pernickety, for example?
Of course I'm pernickety. I wouldn't have written four novels without being pernickety, Pat.
Ah, lovely.
But I reckon, actually, I think I know where the word came from for me. It was a few years ago. I was working with a project manager in a large company, working on a massive tender document, working very long hours, and he was English. He was an Englishman, and he used the word pernickety. And he also used the word chuffed and dischuffed.
Oh, yes.
Which were great words as well. So yeah. I think that's where it came from. I just like the sound of the word, and yes, I am pernickety.
Yes, I thought they might have come out of an Agatha Christie novel or something.
Probably did. I used to read a lot of those, Pat. Loved them.
Yeah, I noticed that you're doing a book launch in the city of Onkaparinga, and they are promoting it as Adelaide's Own. They're getting in early, I suspect, so that if this is a monumental success, they can say she's ours.
Oh, yes, I don't know. Don't quite know how to respond to that. I am proudly South Australian, though, but I'm also proudly Australian. I had a lot of people tell me, oh, you'll never get published in Australia because the publishing industry is just, you know, too small and it's too hard. Your best bet is to go overseas. And I, every time I thought about that and my desperation to get published, and I think, all right, I've got to start researching overseas, I would think, but I'm Australian. I want to be published here, and it's not about the money of, you know, signing up a massive deal. It's about finding a publisher who believes in me and what I'm doing without wanting to change my style or what I'm writing about. But I really did want to be published in Australia first, so I'm very lucky there.
Indeed. Now, when I finished reading this book, my first thought was, when's she going to write the sequel? Because I thought of a whole lot of plots for you that would lend itself to this horse of yours.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. When I'm offline, you'll have to.
I will tell you. Yeah, I will. I will. It just occurred to me that there's a logical sequel. It shouldn't just end where it ends, you know.
Really?
And I'm not going to tell people how it ends.
No,
I refuse
don't.
To do that. To make them buy it, you know.
Yeah, excellent.
But you know, have you thought about a sequel?
I have thought that there wouldn't be a sequel because I didn't see how. Because it's more Claire's journey.
Yes.
I mean, I guess everything could be considered a sequel, but I've got so many other things that I'm working on that Paycheck sequel hasn't come up, but there's a couple of people that have said they'd like a sequel, so who knows down the track, Pat?
Well, I think it's a fascinating book. The words just roll off the pages. It's very easy to read. It's not complicated. There's some nice subtle messages and not so subtle messages in this book, and I don't care. It's a bloke's book as well as a female's book, in my view. I mean, I think anybody could read this and feel at the end of it, I enjoyed that. Well, I'd like some more.
Thank you so much for that, Pat. That's lovely.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, keep up the good work and keep up your corporate business, and let's hope the financial situation improves. But would you give that all away just to write full time?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, give away the corporate stuff.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. That's a means to an end for me.
Yeah.
My dream is to be a novelist who can pay her mortgage and her bills without struggle. As a novelist, yeah. That's my ultimate.
Now, interesting, the only other thing that I wanted to say to you was that I noticed your interview in the Adelaide Advertiser, mm-hmm. and then I looked at your website and I thought, two different photographs. One, a lovely photo of the Adelaide Advertiser. The other one on your website, spiky hair. Is that a corporate thing?
Oh, you were looking at the contents of the
Yeah, I was website. Indeed.
You have done your research.
Yes. I like to know who I'm talking to.
No, that's the old me.
Is it? Well, you better get rid of the old you because you've got a new face now.
Okay, I'll
you swap those photographs over, I'll tell you.
Sorry, what was that?
You swap those photographs over. The one the Adelaide Advertiser used was absolutely lovely.
Oh, well, thank you.
And it makes you look very feminine, whereas the other one, spiky hair, I thought, is this a corporate thing that she's got?
That's the hard-nosed businesswoman.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
Yes. You've well, perhaps the two should be intermingled now, you see.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'll have to look into it, I think, Pat.
Thank you, Fiona, for such a lovely interview, and lovely to talk to you. And best of luck with Paycheck. It's available, of course, at all bookstores, and of course, it's online too. You can buy it online if that's what you want to do. And we look forward to more novels and you becoming one of our lovely Australian novelists in this country. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much, Pat.
You're welcome.
Bye.
We've been talking to Fiona McCallum from Adelaide and her brand new book, Paycheck, which is available, as we said, at all bookstores. You'll love it. It is a wonderful read.